coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela, menina que vem e que passa, num doce balanço camar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema. Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela, menina que vem, num doce balanço. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema. É a
listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production. The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
Yes, indeed, it is. It's a very good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to today's Breakfast Show with me, Jerry D, here on 89.3 Cool FM, smoothest place on your radio dial. At the time, well, we're just making our way to a minute after the hour of 7 o'clock. I will be sitting here, hopefully entertaining you, for the next 3 hours as we go towards 10. It is, by the way, the 24th of August. It is Thursday. Taking a look at a birthday for today. The year was 1787. It was James Weddell. He was a British sailor, a navigator, and a seal hunter. Who in February of 1823 sailed to latitude of 74 degrees 15 seconds, I think that is, 532 statute miles south of the Antarctic Circle, and into a region of the Southern Ocean that later became to be known as, well, you probably know it, the Weddell Sea.
Good morning, world. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Good morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
See you.
sort of agree with the title of that song. It's called Good Thing. Comes from Rebecca Tornquist, and that's bringing us in on this morning's breakfast show. It is Thursday. What do we do on a Thursday? Well, we normally, when we can, he's available. Dr. Computer joins us, Alex Newman. Sadly, he's travelling. Well, not for him. Probably enjoying himself, but for us, so we don't have tech today, but we do have a guest coming in the last hour of this morning's program, which I'll tell you more about in a little while. Mr. Richard Marx and Paul Knight. Well, it's time to get up this morning. Come on. It's 10 past the hour of 7 o'clock. Right, back to the music. I don't really know the intro. This intro is world famous, of course. Simple Minds. Don't you forget about me.
Think of the tender things that we were working on.
Simple Minds, and I tell you what, we're just making our way. We're about coming up for 14 and a half minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock here on this morning's Breakfast Show. Extra music this morning, as I mentioned, that Dr. Computer wouldn't be able to join us today, so we've got extra music to play. We've got some good mornings. Good morning to Relay, Mary Lou, Paul over there in the United Kingdom, of course, Renee over in Athens, and Ed Versailles. Good morning to you, Ed, as well. And, oh, I sent myself a message this morning. Good morning to me, too. There was something, I'll tell you about it later on. There was something I found yesterday, which I, what I do like as well, I mean, not that this was sent to the Breakfast Show website, but, you know, with WhatsApp, one of the things I find very, very useful is the fact you can actually send messages to yourself. So it's a good way of sort of putting them on and then moving them around to other people as well, including yourself. Time on the Breakfast Show. Let me see, what should we do? I know, it's time to do this. Get you in the shower and off to wherever it is you're going on this Thursday morning. It is August the 24th. And Lucy, what have we got with you? Oh, we've got Stephanie Desite. She's lucky she was born with a smile on her face.
La la.
And yes, going off into the distance there, Stephanie Desykes and Born with a Smile on My Face. Right out you get then. And they're off to wherever it is you're going, just today, and then tomorrow's Friday. Yes, the weekend starts tomorrow evening. Right, so let me see. By the way, time-wise, 19 minutes after the hour of 7. Born with a Smile on My Face, it was written by Roger Holman and Simon May, included as the first track on the 1974 album Rain, featuring Stephanie Desykes. Single that did quite nicely. It peaked to number 2 in the United Kingdom, got to number 19 in Australia as well. Now, I've often played on this program a song called Everlasting Love, which was one of my favourites going back to 1967. I used to play it back then. And that was by Love Affair. It was, by the way, it was the song written by Buzz Carson and Matt Gaydon, originally a 1967 hit for Robert Knight. And since, well, remade a number of times, most successfully by Love Affair, as well as Town Criers, Rex Smith, Rachel Sweet, Carl Carlton, Sandra Cretu, U2, believe it or not, Gloria Estefan. Here is a version, which is not bad actually, from Sandra.
Yeah. The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
There we go, that is Andy Kim and Baby, I Love You. It's an album by him, and that was released in 1969, and did quite nice for him. I tell you what, looking at some of the tracks, and a lot of covers, Baby, I Love You, of course, a Phil Spector song, written by Phil Spector, Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich. Walking My La De Da Da, written by Jeff Murray. If I Were a Carpenter, that's on there as well. Good album. And so, going back to 1969. A lot of the covers on there. Time on The Breakfast Show. We're making our way down to, 27 and a half minutes, right now. And that's after the hour of 7 o'clock. I think what we'll do is we're going to take a quick break. We'll take a look at some of the international news and the business news this morning. And then we'll get back to the music.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio. Cool FM.
La Línea 3 beneficiará a una población de más de 500.000 habitantes de la provincia de Panamá Oeste. Con el sistema monorriel atenderá una demanda inicial de 160.000 usuarios.
Is your car in need of a quickie? Car Service Express. Absolutely. They will do any of these for you. 30-point inspection for your car. Oil and oil filter change. Change the air filter. Change the cabin filter. Change any kind of other fluid as well, like coolant, brake, transmission and power steering. And they'll balance and rotate your tyres. And if you've got one that doesn't rotate because it's flat at the bottom, they'll fix that too. Car Service Express, 648-14281. Give them a call, 648-14281.
Elbrook Car Service Express. ¿Amas la historia y la cultura? Únete al Museo del Canal y sé parte de un legado que ha trascendido generaciones. Adquiriendo tu membresía al Museo del Canal, haces posible que más niños y jóvenes de diversas comunidades y escuelas de todo el país redescubran su historia. Conviértete en un miembro y sumérgete en la fascinante historia que rodea la construcción del canal. Para más información, museodelcanal.com o al WhatsApp 6576-9335 o visita el Museo del Canal ubicado en Casco Antiguo frente a la Plaza Catedral. Museo del Canal, donde la historia cobra vida.
It's Morning Radio, the breakfast show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
And it is great to be with you. It's always great to be with you. If you wake up, it's always a good sign, isn't it? It is Thursday, it is August the 24th. We're going to take a look at some of the international news for today. Now, an Embraer Legacy 600. This is an executive jet believed to have carried the Wagner mercenary chief, that's Yevgeny Prigozhin, to his death on Wednesday. Showed no sign of a problem until a precipitous drop in its final 30 seconds, according to flight tracking data. Crash investigators on Thursday picked through the wreckage of a jet said to have been carrying Prigozhin that crashed with no survivors. 2 months to the day, by the way, after he led a mutiny against the army leadership. Investigators opened a criminal probe, but there was no official word on what may have caused the Wednesday evening's crash or even official confirmation of Prigozhin's death, beyond a statement from the aviation authority saying that he was on board. The Kremlin and the Defense Ministry also made no comment on the fate of Prigozhin, head of the Wagner mercenary group and a self-declared enemy of the army top brass, over what he said was its incompetent prosecution of Russia's war in Ukraine. President Vladimir Putin made a virtual statement to a summit of the BRICS nations in South Africa, which his foreign minister Sergei Lavrov was attending. Well, neither of them referenced the plane crash in which 10 people were said to have been killed. Donald Trump is due to report to an Atlanta jail on Thursday to face charges stemming from his effort to overturn his 2020 election loss in the fourth criminal case to hit the former president this year. Like other criminal defendants in Atlanta, Trump will have to appear at the Fulton County Jail to be fingerprinted and photographed, a mugshot that is certain to be widely circulated by backers and detractors alike as the campaigns to win back the White House in a November 2024 election. Japan started releasing treated radioactive water from the wrecked Fukushima nuclear power plant into the Pacific Ocean on Thursday, a polarizing move that prompted China to announce an immediate blanket ban on all aquatic products from Japan. China is highly concerned about the risk of radioactive contamination brought by Japan's food and agricultural products, the Customs Bureau said in a statement. The Japanese government signed off on the plan 2 years ago, and it was given a green light by the United Nations nuclear watchdog last month. The discharge is a key step in decommissioning the Fukushima Daiichi plant after it was destroyed by a tsunami in 2011. Plant operator Tokyo Electric Power said that the release began at 1:03 p.m. local time, and it had not identified any anomalies. Leaders of the BRICS group of developing nations have invited Saudi Arabia, Iran, Ethiopia, Egypt, Argentina, and the United Arab Emirates to join in a move aimed at growing the clout of a bloc that has pledged to champion the global south. Expansion could also pave the way for dozens of interested countries to seek admission to BRICS, currently Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, at a time when geopolitical polarization is spurring efforts by Beijing and Moscow to forge it into a viable counterweight to the West. And Brazil's president called on Wednesday for the BRICS nations to create a common currency for trade and investment between each other as a means of reducing their vulnerability to dollar exchange and rate fluctuations. Luiz Ignacio Lula da Silva made the proposal at a BRICS summit in Johannesburg. Officials and economists have pointed out the difficulties involved in such a project, given the economic, political and geographic disparities between Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa. Brazil is set, they're in the news this morning, aren't they? Brazil is set to overtake the US this year as the world's top corn exporter, reflecting both a bumper harvest and logistical breakthroughs, such as the consolidation of northern export routes, which are boosting the competitiveness of the South American grains powerhouse. Corn exports through Brazil's northern ports, which use the waterways of the Amazon River Basin to ship grains globally, are on track to beat volumes via the most traditional port of Santos for a third consecutive year, according to Reuters' analysis of grain shipping data. European shares, they hit a one-week high on Thursday, with chipmakers lifting the technology sector after industry bellwether NVIDIA smashed expectations with its quarterly revenue forecast, and as easing bond yields also improved risk sentiment. The pan-European Stock 600 was up 0.6%, set for its fourth straight session of gains. Tech stocks jumped up 1.2%, with chipmakers leading gains after we mentioned NVIDIA and the world's most valuable chipmaker forecast higher than anticipated quarterly revenue and also announced a share buyback program. Oil prices, well, they steadied after earlier declines on Thursday caused by disappointing economic data from key economies, with investors awaiting a speech by U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell on Friday for clues on interest rate moves. Oil-wise, Brent crude, that climbed 6 cents or 0.1% to $83.27 a barrel. That was by 8.55 GMT after dropping to $82.57 earlier in the session. U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude, that rose 4 cents or 0.1% to $78.93 a barrel. That was after falling to $78.22. And that's it. There we go. That's some of our international news for this morning. We got through that relatively quickly this morning. The time is just a few seconds after 23 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Right, we're going to take a piece of music after that. We'll look at some of our listeners have been making requests this morning. go. That's a nice track, isn't it? That comes from Gene Kahn. And don't let it go to your head. Right, let's take a little rummage here, shall we? And actually, this morning, too, with regards to Renee, I sent her a little thing this morning because she was complaining. Her phone actually got hot because of the actual room temperature. And I thought, well, that's a bit silly. Purely by chance, I came across a piece on YouTube yesterday exactly about that. Apple responds to the iPhone 14 Pro battery problem. And the guy was actually saying that, you know, he got a warning on his phone that it was too hot. And he said that was just ambient temperature. It had nothing to do with the phone's workings. Anyway, let's get back to Renee, because if you remember the hotel saga, yeah, their air conditioner packed up at home, so they went to this hotel. The hotel wasn't very good because they didn't get any good air conditioning, so they went to another room in that hotel where the bed squeaked, and that was embarrassing. So they left and they went to the hotel that they lived in for 5 months too, and they went to Greece. And that's where they've been saying. Anyway, we go on from there. Good morning. Seriously, this no AC thing is rough. The hotel we moved to last night was wonderful. We had a restful night, finally. This is now day 6 without air conditioning. The house is getting hotter and hotter. Got home this morning to find one of my houseplants nearly dead. I gave it some water and put it in the fridge for a while, and it perked right up. I can't imagine another week of this. We just discovered the other day that Dolly Parton wrote, "I'll Always Love You." We both had absolutely no clue it wasn't Whitney Houston's song, but Dolly's is great. Please, can you play Dolly Parton, "I Will Always Love You"?
If I should stay, I would only you. Step of the way, and I will always love you. I will always love you. Bittersweet memory. That's all I am taking with me. Goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know that I'm not what you need. But I will always love you. And I hope that you have all that you ever dreamed of. And I wish you joy. But above all of this, I wish you love.
There we go. That is Dolly Parton and her version, "I Will Always Love You." Of course, as Renee says, it was written by her. Time on the Breakfast Show, 14 before the hour of 8 o'clock. Now, I tell you what, going to sticking with an old one. This one is an absolute classic. Ed Versailles this morning. Good morning to you, Ed. He drops the line and says, "Very good morning and happy TBT, everybody. One day shy from the weekend." Yes, don't we know it. The week has flown by, hasn't it? Yes, it has. I must admit this week has gone quickly. Anyway, I'd like to request this amazing song that ever since I listened to it for the first time, I haven't been able to stop it from just playing in my head. I know what that's like, no matter where or when. It's The Girl from Ipanema. And of course, the goal for an Ipanema has been made by many people, even including Amy Winehouse. But of course, if I'm going to play it, the one I want to play is what I reckon is the best by far and original. This is Girl from Ipanema. It's with Stan Getz, Gel Gilberto, and of course Astrid Gilberto. Here it is, Girl from Ipanema.
Que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem, que passa, num doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, porque estou tão sozinho? Ah, porque tudo é tão triste? Ah, a beleza que existe, a beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes goes she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently that when she passes, each one she passes goes ah. Oh, but he watched her so sadly.
Does it? Yes, there we go. Stan Getz, Gel Gilberto, and Astrid Gilberto there, and Girl from Ipanema. Beautiful. Time on the Breakfast Show. If you want to keep an eye on the time, we are 8.5 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, and it is Thursday. Normally we would have tech with us in the second hour this morning, but Dr. Computer is travelling. He's off on his travels. And in the last hour, though, this morning's program, we've got a guest coming in. Anil Kargoti is coming in to chat with us. He's a Panamanian author and a Freemason who has actively participated in various positions in lodges of different jurisdictions. Now, in his novels, The Secrets of the Brotherhood and The Dawn of Janus, Gotti weaves a fictional story inspired by his own experiences and real-life events. Through his writings, Gotti offers a unique insight into the inner workings of the Masonic Brotherhood based on his first-hand knowledge and experience. So there we are. It's going to be exciting, isn't it? So that's coming up in the last hour of this morning's program. I've seen recently, because I've got him on the program, a lot of publicity about his books, and good publicity too, I hasten to add. Right, and going back, just talking about travelling, Dr. Computer's travelling, somebody else who's going to be travelling, that is our friend over there in South London, Paul Dixon. He's going to be travelling tomorrow. He's leaving. He says, "Hi, Jerry, tomorrow it's off to Bulgaria." Ow. That's quite a trip, isn't it? And could you please play Airport by The Motors? That's spelled M-O-T-O-R-S, by the way. Not M-O-T-T-A-S. Sorry, I thought I'd get that in.
Fly away, fly away.
There we go. That is the motors there and airport. Going out to Paul and Maria over there, travelling off to Bulgaria tomorrow. Safe travels. Bring us right up to the top of the hour. Yes, they were a few seconds away from 8 o'clock. Amen Corner and Half as Nice. Time for us, to do this.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio. Cool FM.
Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
¿Amas la historia y la cultura? Únete al Museo del Canal y sé parte de un legado que ha trascendido generaciones. Adquiriendo tu membresía al Museo del Canal, haces posible que más niños y jóvenes de diversas comunidades y escuelas de todo el país redescubran su historia. Conviértete en un miembro y sumérgete en la fascinante historia que rodea la construcción del canal. Para más información, museodelcanal.com o al WhatsApp 6576-9335 o visita el Museo del Canal ubicado en Casco Antiguo frente a la Plaza Catedral. Museo del Canal, donde la historia cobra vida.
Have you ever taken your car for maintenance and been told to come back within less than 5,000 kilometers or 3 months? The secret is in using good quality oil and an original filter. At Burley Motors, we guarantee high quality oil and a thorough inspection during every maintenance check, better than you would get at the dealership. This means a longer lifespan for your car, and you won't have to spend money every 3 months. You can go up to 6,000 kilometers with semi-synthetic oil and up to 10,000 kilometers with full synthetic oil. Give us a call or WhatsApp us on 64310419. Got that? 64310419. Valley Motors. We'll keep you running.
Valley Motors.
La línea 3 del metro elevará el tren de vida de miles de panameños que residen en Panamá Oeste. Pronto será una realidad que contribuirá a un desplazamiento rápido y seguro desde y hacia la ciudad capital.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
She's got a lovely voice. It seems some of her songs are really, really meaningful as well. Amy McDonald there, and the days of being young and free. Oh, that goes back a while. Here's one. Take us to when we link up with Ingrid this morning. Lionel Richie, he's winding up his watch. This is just simply called Time.
What are you gonna do with your life? morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Well, it's Thursday morning. One more day until the Friday. Day. Looking forward to Friday. Wow, I got wiped out yesterday. Too much work going on. Lots of stuff happening around the house. Cooking. Made us a nice pot of paella in the evening. Took the ladies down to the thermal pool so they could get some mud on their face and get in that hot, hot, hot water. Today is a calming, relaxing massage day. Yes, we're going to try to calm them down a bit. I'm back to the work office. Yep, I got to get me some things done. Some clients need some help, and that's what I'm here for. So, yeah, that was a nice sleep last night. I think the temperature dropped down, and one of the kitty cats that we had thought had run away or had some disaster happen has returned. So Mr. Binkers is back. We are happy to announce he is back. He's very, very skinny. So wherever he was, he chose not to eat. So anyways, we're happy. The cook is very happy that he's back, and I'm happy she's happy. Well, let's see what else is going on. Oh, those avocado stones that we started growing are doing fabulous. They are already sprouted and poking their heads up out of their stones. We got to figure out where we're going to put them. They have to get enough light and plenty of water. The gardener comes today. He's got to pick up all those mangoes from the mango soup. Oh, yep, lots of mango soup. And we got hung one toucan hung. We bought one of those tire toucans that you find at some roadside artisan things. And it's got a wood beak, and it's adorable. And I hung it, and it's so pretty. I can't wait. I don't know if I'm going to put anything in it, like, I don't know, plants, or maybe see if the kitty cats will get in there. That would be really funny. And the artiste, the Canuck, is doing a great job. Her toucan on the wall is coming along. I'm posting pictures as she goes. We're very proud of her work. I actually paid her $1 for it, so now she's a full-time paid artist for $1. Okay, you guys be careful. Tomorrow is your Freaky Friday Fun Facts. I will find something fun to fill your fun fuzzy ears with. Until then, back to you at the studio.
You wander around on your own little cloud when you don't see the why or the wherefore. You walk out on me when we both disagree, 'cause to reason is
There you go. Good advice from, that is Petulia Clark, believe it or not. Don't sleep in the subway. So there. Make sure you get yourself a nice warm bed or with a nice breeze. Well, if you're going to have, if you're going to be sleeping, and Ingrid said they're going to be doing massaging, you're going to need healing hands, aren't you? As well, this is called, comes from Sir Elton John.
Reach out for a healing hand.
There we go. Yes, Sweet Sensation and Sad Sweet Dreamer. If you are keeping an eye on the time, we are almost exactly 23 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock here on this morning's breakfast show. Still to come, if you missed the news at 8, we do have it again for you in the last, 9 o'clock, at the top of the last hour. And also, we've got our guest coming in. That's, we'll be talking with Amilcar and Amilcar Gotti. He's been busy writing a few books. He's a Panamanian author and a Freemason who has actively participated in various positions in lodges of different jurisdictions. In his novels, which is The Secrets of the Brotherhood and The Dawn of Janus, Gotti weaves a fictional story inspired by his own experiences and real-life events. Through his writings, Gotti offers a unique insight into the inner workings of the Masonic Brotherhood based on his first-hand knowledge and experience. That's all going to be rather exciting, isn't it? To be talking with Amilcar in the last hour of this morning's program. And just taking a look and just seeing who else, we looked at the beginning of the show, born on this day in music. And I tell you what, we've got Edmund Germer, who was born back in 1901. He was a German inventor, recognized as the father of the fluorescent lamp. He applied for a patent with Frederick Meyer and Hans J. Spanner on December the 10th of 1926, which led to U.S. patent to 1,182,732. The patent was later purchased by the General Electric Company, which also licensed his patent on the high-pressure mercury vapor lamp. So there we go. Fluorescent lighting, going back 1925. That's some time, isn't it? Tell you what, we're going to take another piece of music. When we come back, we'll check in with Yasmin, and I'm pretty sure that she has got perhaps a couple of people born on this day in the world of music. That is the Chiffons there, and he's so fine. Well, it's time for us to just turn over a new page, or turn my head around. Good morning, Yasmin.
Good morning.
Happy
Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Hi, Thursday.
No. Hang on, you forget your microphone. You forget your headphone. And it's Wednesday, is it?
No, it's Thursday.
It is, isn't it? It's Thursday. How's your day going so far? God, what a pair. We're both well matched, I think.
Oh, yes.
So how was your Tuesday?
Tuesday, good. Just working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how was your Wednesday?
The same. Maybe that's why I'm confused.
Yes. Oh, somebody invite us to an event, for heaven's sake. wonderful. So, yes. So, nothing to report then. What about today?
No, today I'm going to the foundation just to do some photos.
Okay.
That's all.
How are they doing over there? Good?
Yes, good. They're going to have a collecting money. They're going to collect money this weekend at Albert Mall.
Do you think we should join them? We could collect money as well.
Oh, yes. It's going to be Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Oh, good luck to them.
Yes.
Have they moved, have they?
Oh, yes. Yeah. They are now in Via España.
Oh, yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And don't forget to tell everybody which foundation it is.
Oides Vivir.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's your day today. Tomorrow's... This week does seem to have gone quite quickly, actually. Mm-hmm. Do you think so?
Oh, yes.
It's because we've got nothing to do, really, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know, but at least we were like relaxed this week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No stress.
Mm-hmm. You reckon?
Yes.
No, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a guest coming in the last hour this morning. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, yes. A friend just told me that she got the book.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. She got his book and she started reading it and it's great.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. So, yeah, Al Cargott is coming in to chat with us about that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, excellent. Oh, I'm glad you know somebody's got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All those secrets in there, you see.
Oh, yes.
That's what it is. Find out about those later. Anyway, you've been rummaging around, uh-huh. And you found a couple of tracks born on this day in music.
Exactly. The first one is Molly Duncan. Is that a woman or a man?
Is it Molly?
Molly.
Uh-huh. M-O-L-L-Y?
Uh-huh.
It would normally be a woman.
Okay.
Mm.
And she was born in 1945.
Mm-hmm.
From Scottish funk and R&B group, the Average White Band.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Who scored the 1975 US number 1 and UK number 6 single, Pick Up the Pieces.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we pick up the pieces?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
there we go. That is the Average White Band and Pick Up the Pieces. Nice bit of funky soul there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Good one. Good choice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Who's your next one?
The next one is Michael Derosier.
Right.
He was born in 1951 from American rock band Heart, who scored the 1987 U.S. number one and U.K. number three single Alone. Heart has sold over 35 million records worldwide.
Mm, and you just need a dollar a record, don't you, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, we could manage on that, couldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Here's Heart. This is Alone. And if you are keeping an eye on the time, by the way, we are exactly 11 and a half minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock.
I hear the ticking of the clock. I'm lying here, the room's pitch dark. I wonder where you are tonight. No answer on the telephone. And the night goes by so very slow.
Song, that one from Heart, just called Alone. Good one, eh? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love it.
I'll tell you what, I have another birthday for today.
Oh, yes?
In the world of music. Jean-Michel Jarre.
Oh.
Wasn't on your list?
Oh, yes.
He was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know who he is?
No.
Okay.
That's why I didn't tell you before.
Oh, no, well, look. See that image?
Uh-huh.
The picture with the white frame?
Uh-huh.
What's it say?
Where? In the...
The one with the, like, the big, the satellite dish and the...
Okay.
Yes.
Year, what? Destination?
Docklands.
That
was a concert that he did in the United Kingdom. I think I might have told you before, because it was what is now a sort of great big skyscraper development, but it was the old London docks.
Uh-huh.
And when it was going through this transition, and this is when they did the concert, it was the Saturday the 8th and Sunday the 9th of October back in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And they still had the old cranes were still there, and he did the concert on a floating barge in the dock, in one of the docks. It was really, really quite something.
Oh, wow.
And it poured with rain.
Oh.
Both days.
Oh.
It got very wet. I was there. Had nice seats. It was because it was in the open, you know. And, yes, it was very wet, but it was a brilliant, brilliant concert. Imagine what it must have been like if it was a nice evening. But gosh, I mean, the lighting and the fireworks, and because they didn't really have lasers so much in those days, but they had a lot, they used the old original wartime spotlights that they used to use to try and find the aircraft flying over London. And yeah, so Jean-Michel's birthday today, and said I've got a track from Destination Docklands, and say it was the Royal Victoria Docks in Docklands, London. And it was to coincide with the release of Jar's new album called Revolutions. And it was attended by 100,000 people. Track I've got is Oxygen 4. There we go, yes, live from Saturday the 8th of October back in 1988 there. And no doubt you'll be able to hear me in there somewhere. Yes, oh, I can hear it in there cheering. Take us up to the top of the hour. Our day will come. Ruby and the Romantics.
Our day will come and we'll have everything. We'll share the joy falling in love can bring. No one can tell me that I'm too young to know. I love you so. Day will come if we just wait a while. No tears for us. Think love and wear a smile. Our dreams have magic because we'll all.
Tell you what, I love the organ in there, isn't it great? Oh, good old Hammond, I guess. Anyway, that's Ruby and the Romantics, and our day will come. Well, the time has come. It's exactly 9 o'clock.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
Las vigas de rodaje colocadas en el viaducto de la línea 3 comienzan a tomar forma y se aprecian en los sectores de San Bernardino, Vista Alegre y Burunga.
It's Morning Radio, the Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM. From the heart of Panama City in English.
You can talk to me.
There we go, Stevie Nicks, bringing us in musically into this half of this morning's programme. Still to come in probably around about 7 or 8 minutes' time. We're talking with my guest this morning, Amakar Gotti. Here it's going to be all very interesting. He's written some great books, and we'll be talking about that, and also a little bit about Freemasonry too. Before I fall to pieces. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do two in a row for you. The first one that is featuring Bailey Zook is called Uninvited by the Freemasons. And after that, we're going to listen to When Will I See You Again by the 3 Degrees.
Thank you.
the best place to be in the mornings.
Go two in a row. Time on the breakfast show, just a fraction after 26 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. We're on 89.3 Call FM, and it's a great pleasure to welcome my guest for this morning, Amal Kargoti. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Thank you for having me here in your program.
Great to have you. And interesting topics.
Yeah.
Because normally when people mention the Freemasons, you know, or they have their own particular views of Freemasonry. You're openly a Freemason.
Yes, that's correct.
What made you decide to write? What I like about this is that most people that write books about Freemasons, I guess, or do videos, is normally to say bad things.
Yeah.
But you've decided to do a fiction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is correct. So by the end of 2021, I release a book online on Kindle called Los Secretos del Acta,
mm-hmm.
which their main theme was the Freemasonry here in Panama, and also a situation that we have in Panama and a lot of Panamanians are not aware of that has to do with our Declaration of Independence and who drafted the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all these elements inspire me to write this novel using real information that is actually that exists, you know, regarding the Freemasonry here in Panama and also mm-hmm. that situation mm-hmm. as well. Because I had, you know, first-hand information since I was a Freemason, first. And second, because the person that has to do with that that misunderstanding regarding the draft was my great-great-grandfather, mm-hmm. Ernesto Goti,
mm-hmm.
and Carlos A. Mendoza, as
right,
well,
right.
And Carlos Mendoza happened to be a 33-degree Freemason, third president of Panama, and he was a very, very important person in Freemasonry, and he still is.
Mm-hmm.
So that inspired me to do this story where the two young men have to be initiated in the order, and when they are Master Masons, they have to look for clues here in Panama, mm-hmm. in actual real places that exist in Panama. And what I do that a lot of people like is that I do not only just write this story, but I also include pictures, maps, clips, also from recordings from newspapers.
Mm-hmm. I saw that you've got QR codes there, so people can... Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everybody should do that in a book.
Yes. Yeah, and that's funny because when I wrote the book, I asked some people to give me their feedback,
mm-hmm.
and some people would say, well, you know, in novels, you usually don't put images or, you know, illustrations. I said, well, I don't care. You know, that's something I would like to see in a book.
The thing is, although this is fiction,
exactly.
I mean, the what you've written about and where you've written about mm-hmm. is real. It's
yes.
not fictitious.
Yeah, exactly. So the actual story is a fictional novel.
Mm-hmm.
Still, the is based on real facts. So whenever they go, for example, to a temple located on a specific place, I have a picture and I have also the description of the place. When I discuss, you know, this newspaper on 2001 where they mm-hmm. were discussing this, mm-hmm. this situation, I actually have the actual image, the picture of the people involved, etc. And that's what have been a hook for the readers, because when they are reading, they are seeing like, my God, this is real. This mm-hmm. is really mm-hmm. happening. You know? Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, you know.
And how much of this, because, you know, the opinion seems to be, well, Freemasonry is clandestine, it's secretive, nobody mm-hmm. knows anything about it. How far can you go when you're writing a book about a topic like this into actuality without giving away any of the information that is mm-hmm. so-called not available?
That's a good question. When I wrote Los Secretos del Acta, which was my first book,
mm-hmm.
I had to be very careful with the information. I don't reveal anything that within the order is considered as a secret that we're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do mention in the book is a situation in which the lodge is involved with the brothers, certain personalities that you encounter,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them really helpful, other very manipulative,
mm-hmm.
Other, you know, there's a little bit of everything. And there are a lot of books out there of people writing about Freemasonry, as you mentioned, that is written by authors that never been even, they have never stepped into a temple at all. They have no
sure,
idea.
Sure.
You know, so that way I have to be very responsible. In that sense, but very careful. And the people that I mentioned that are Freemasons are because they already mentioned that they are Freemasons before,
mm-hmm.
especially Carlos Mendoza. There's a lot of books written about him himself, mm-hmm. his grandson also. He actually opened the lodge to the newspapers, to the press. I mentioned Cecil Haynes
mm-hmm.
As well, and I actually contacted their family and I asked for their permission. They gave me their permission. So I was very careful with information, you know, trying to have a good taste and very respectful, but still presenting the good and the bad and the ugly in a sense of mm-hmm. the order.
Do you think that, say, somebody that isn't aware of the Freemasons, that they will gain enough knowledge for them to take an interest in?
Yes, I believe so. And I have a lot of readers that are not Freemasons
mm-hmm.
that have gone, you know, and tell me, like, listen, I have no idea about the order, but now after reading your book, I understand it better. Now I get it, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, the order is not perfect. There's, you know, a lot of things. But what I try to emphasize always throughout the story is the main teaching of the order, which is that we are a rough, you know, stone or arcler, and we have to work on that stone to make it better, and we are just trying to be better people. And throughout the story, even though we get to meet all these type of persons, at the end, the main teaching is that Freemasonry tries to have the individuals that form part of the order to be better people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in a way, I try to at least respect what is the main intention of, you know, or purpose of the order is, and letting people know, you know, also the sides or collateral part of the good, the bad, you know, as mentioned.
So, I mean, from what you're saying then, that what you would do is you would take people of good standing to help them improve, but you're not looking at rehabilitating bad people and making them good.
That is correct.
You've got to be on the good part first before you can go any further. Correct.
Actually, and that's a good point you mentioned, Jerry, because when I begin the novel, I have this individual actually knocking the door, trying to go in, and he goes through the process. So you can actually, by reading the book, see how a person, an individual, goes into the order. He has to go through the investigation committee. He gets to meet them on a restaurant after they go to the initiation. And also, on the novel, you get to see another person who tries to go into the order because he has political intentions. He wants to have contacts because, you know, for his own selfish needs. And, you know, you will see the outcome of what happened with that individual because, again, there's a little bit of everything on the order, you know, as well as in many other groups. There are bad apples as well everywhere.
And before you came in, Yasmin was, you know, we were talking about, and she asked a reasonable question. She said, because you're talking about the fraternity, the Brotherhood of the Freemasonry, did you have to get permission?
Well, no, because the book is actually totally separated from any specific group. I'm doing it as an independent. The only permission I had to request was that one of the pictures that I use on the chapter... It's a picture I took on the Gran Templo de Panamá, Gran Logia de Panamá, in Calle 13. And it's a picture of Carlos Mendoza. So I took the picture, and I reached out to the Grandmaster Mason, asked him, and I explained him, I'm doing this book. It's a fictional novel, but I want to use this picture. And they gave me permission. But they did clarify. But remember to always clarify that you have nothing to do with the Gran Logia of Panamá. I said, no, that's fine. But other than that, the feedback, actually most of my readers are Freemasons here in Panama. And the feedback is being very overwhelmingly positive, really, regarding, you know, the book.
What about non-Freemasons? Are you getting feedback from
Yes, that? Yes. Actually, it's funny because most of my readers are ladies. And actually,
Yasmin said she's got a friend that
she read it, really. She started, yeah, that's fun. That's because you would think, like, you know, why would they like to, you know, read a book that of this topic? You don't expect it, but it's overwhelming more females who are reading it. That's funny. That's interesting. And they are for sure, they are not Freemasons. Actually, in one of my last posts that I did from the Feria del Libro, I have comments from two ladies saying that I started reading the book. In 3 days, I finished reading the book. It was a really nice book. I like it very much. And I'm starting with the second one. So in general, both males and females that are not Freemasons have been enjoying a lot the book. And it's been overwhelming. Thank God, you know, it's been good in that sense.
And we got one of our listeners, regular listeners, Senor Francisco, and he says, good morning, Mr. D. Today you have a very great writer with you.
Francisco, is that Francisco Conte, maybe?
It is.
Yeah,
yes.
Francisco. Hi, Francisco. Hola, ¿cómo estás? Yeah, he's a great friend of mine. Yeah, and he actually read the book, and he actually is going to start the second one as well.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. So, yeah, good morning to you, Francisco. Always nice to know he's out there. And tell me, with the book, do you think that it'll encourage people to look at us or look at Freemasonry a bit more closely and want to get more involved?
Yes, it's funny because I never used social media before. And since I wrote that book, I was advised to create an Instagram account. So I did it, you know. And now I have these people following the account because of the books. And a lot of people reach out to me to ask me about how to get into the order, that they are interested. And lately there have been some activities organized by the Panama Canal Masons, where they have open lodges, you know, EAO, I think is the name. I might be butchering, sorry. But because it's free, there's a lot of people who follow my account that go there because they are really interested. And I think there was a gentleman that about 5 months ago went to a presentation and he already got initiated. But it came through my account. So I think in a way, I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting interested. They reach out to me, and when these events take place, I tell them, listen, you should go there. It's very interesting. And they go, they ask questions, and they usually decide to get involved and actually enter Freemasonry. So that's something that I would say yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Simón Bolívar.
Yes.
Ooh. You know, who we adore. He was a Freemason.
I have a nice comment about that, and probably you will like it. It's funny because when you go to these temples, especially in Latin America, you see mm-hmm. the painting of Simón Bolívar, right?
Right, right.
But people don't know that Simón Bolívar was a Freemason, but he prohibited the Freemasonry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was a coup on, I think, 1860 or 1820. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. remember, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they tried to take him out of power, he said, where are these plans on Freemason lodges? So he actually wrote an instruction, I remember the word in English,
mm-hmm.
but he prohibited the Freemasonry.
Yeah.
And because he prohibited Freemasonry, the first lodge in Panama, who was San Juan de la Primera Unión, actually went to dark.
Okay.
Due to that. So mm-hmm. it's ironic that the biggest, you know, iconic Freemasonry in Latin America was the person who actually prohibited Freemasonry. And that's something that a lot of people are not aware of.
No, that's interesting, isn't it?
It is. It is.
I should have banned him.
Yeah. Yeah, some people say that he probably got initiated just for the contacts. Because he was initiated in Cadiz, and mm-hmm. he was trying to get contacts for his plan of, you know, conquering, so he was actually do for his own interests and needs,
mm-hmm.
but he was, and that's why he probably didn't get along with San Martin, Chile, etc., who were more strict Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
But again, those are speculations, but maybe there's some truth underneath, no?
Mary Lou's dropped us a line, says, hi, Amilcar.
Hi.
Mary Lou, yes, she's always with us as well. Thank
you.
Of course, another one, perhaps people know, Eloy Alfaro, which is another one. And I mean, the interesting thing, because I went to one of the lodges of open days there, mm-hmm. and they tell you that the people that are actually Freemasons, I mean, the first man on the moon.
Yes.
Was one of them. Louis Armstrong, I think, is another one.
Yeah, a lot of people. Walt Disney as well.
Yeah.
Cantinflas as well. A lot of people, yeah.
And John Wayne.
John Wayne, yeah. It's amazing.
So, I mean, when you've been going around, because you've been getting sort of quite involved in local masonry and over in Colón as well, what was the reaction to Freemasons themselves to you writing the book?
Well, at first I was worried because, you know, of course, this is a project that has no agenda. It's simply my own inspiration, and I didn't want to do something to be in good terms with anyone, just so what I wanted to do.
It's not a book about Freemasonry, it's a book mm-hmm. that Freemasonry is involved in.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm.
And because it's a fictional novel, but it touches a lot of Freemasonry. So I was worried at first, but then I started getting feedback from the readers, both Freemasons and not Freemasons, and I was really surprised due to the acceptance. And there were even some brothers who would write to me and tell me, listen, when I was reading the book, it was like I was reading my own story.
Because
because the same mm-hmm. jokes that I use in the book were the same jokes they would tell them. Like, you know, the usual joke in the interview, like, hey, by the way, everything's going to be fine, but just in case, bring another pair of underwear, you know, just in case. So it was all of that. I put it on the book, and they said like the same thing they told me. And when I got in, and with how nervous I was, because of course I put it from the perspective of the protagonist, which is my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. It was a nice feedback in that sense. So I think I'm all right in that sense, I guess.
Well, wonderful. Well, Amilcar, we're talking with Amilcar. We're going to be back in just a minute. We're going to take a musical break from Matt Bianco. Golden days.
Golden days. time seems to get in your way. Day after day, said that love was a thing for someone else to believe in your heart. You're always running away. Why can't you stay? When I'm spending it with you, and every time you say that life is so much more, and I'm going away, going back.
Golden Days. Time wise, we are 13 minutes, almost exactly 13 minutes before 10, so I've got about another 8 minutes to go here on the Breakfast Show with my guest, Emil Cargotti. We're talking about, it says your second book now that you brought out. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do, because we have two copies of this book, one in Espanolish and one in English. Okay, and if you'd be interested in one of those, I tell you what, just give Yasmin a call on 223-5162. Give Yasmin a call on 223-5162 and just let her know if you would like. We've got one copy of each to give away, one in Spanish, one in English. Just let us know. And, well, we do it before the end of the program and get Amilcar to sign it for you. But there you go. Now, see, I was going to ask you a question. Yeah, I mean, when you were getting involved in this, I mean, because of the depth that you've gone into this, you probably know, I would imagine, more about Freemasonry than a lot of other people that are Freemasons. Was there anything that really surprised you?
Yes. Yes, because at first, I only knew my universe, my own, you know, little world of Freemasonry.
Mm-hmm.
But then after I published the book and I got feedback from the readers, I started getting pictures from them, you know, saying, for example,
yes,
like, mm-hmm. and that's how my whole world was open, because they would send me a picture of a temple and they would say, look, where I live, actually, there's a temple close by, and I would look at the temple. I would say, but this doesn't look like a Masonic temple. And then they would say, well, you know, I have a picture of my grandfather. I used to be a Mason. They would send. I was like, mm-hmm. but this doesn't look like. So what's going on? What's happening here? And then by researching, I had the luck to talk with a fellow brother who's called Fabio Galastica.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's a Freemason, but he also is a member of other fraternal groups. And actually began researching with his help, and I found out that here in Panama there were more than 30 fraternal groups, not only Freemasonry.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, groups like the Elks, for example, like the Mechanics, like the Foresters, like the Shepherds, and in Cologne there were a lot of these groups actually. So since I was so excited about that information, that inspired me on my second book to actually touch those topics.
Mm-hmm.
So in my new book, which is in Spanish, El Amanecer de Janus, in English, I have it already in Kindle and Amazon, just like the first one, The Dawn of Janus. I have these two Freemasons, who are the same protagonists of the first novel, going through Panama and Cologne looking for clues, and they are behind an attack to the Panama Canal, and they have to go to bunkers, that really exist, and also temples that are not necessarily from Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm doing on the second novel is I'm adding QR codes. So whenever you're reading a chapter and you get to a point in which they get to a temple in Cologne from the Mechanics, I have a code that takes you to a video, and I go in depth and I explain on my video who are the Mechanics, where they came from, etc. And for this second book, I also had this sit down with El Mayor Felipe Camargo, who used to work for the intelligence with General Torrijos and Noriega, and he gave me a lot of information about the Panama Canal, about La Fuerza de Defensas. So that helped me a lot also. So this second book is very ambitious, but I think it's going to be very fun for the readers as well.
Okay. I tell you what, you can also WhatsApp me if you would like a copy. In fact, Christopher's just done it. If you want to, we've got one English copy and one Spanish copy of the book to give away. I tell you what, Christopher, if you're listening, don't worry. Just tell me English or Espanolish, and we'll keep a copy here. We'll get Amokar to sign it for you. So, Christopher, if you're listening, just let me know which one of those you like, English or Espanolish. Anybody else? Well, when Christopher's told us, because that's the point, which one he wants, then the other one we'll put up. So you can also WhatsApp us, of course, the number 677-188-22. So what is next?
What is next? Good question. So I want to have these books in English on the bookstores here in Panama, hopefully by the end of September. They are both available in Spanish and English in Amazon already and Kindle. And I will update everyone with more information. I have an Instagram account, which is called Amilcar Gotia Escritor. I just happened to be in La Feria del Libro last week, and it was really nice because all the books that I brought, I just got had left like 10 copies from all the books. So it was amazing, the acceptance. And I'm starting to write a third book, which is going to be my third and final novel of this story. So that's going to be hopefully next year. I'm going to try to have it ready by the Feria del Libro 2024. So it's going to be very ambitious as well, because a lot of people who's been reading my books are asking me, but I want to read about the actual esoteric part of Freemasonry, you know, the mystic part. So I say, okay, you know, I'm going to give the readers what they want. So I'm going to do a third book, but I'm going to try to go into depth, into the rituals, into the esoteric part. So people, maybe when they read it, they're going to get more than what they expect. Maybe not. I don't know. But that's going to be fun. So I already have this story. I'm going to be working on that as well.
Do you get to a position when you're afraid of perhaps stepping over the line between mm-hmm. what should or shouldn't be
yeah.
said?
Yes. So I try to be careful because I don't reveal the specific words where, you know, Freemasons identify themselves or tokens or handshakes. I get totally away from that. But I actually do discuss things that are, in my opinion, available already for everyone to read and try to explore those in deep, being very careful. So it's difficult because, of course, you have to be very aware of what you're writing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the key of doing this work, you know, trying to be very, very professional in that sense and respectful because, again, I'm a Freemason and I don't want to get myself into trouble. But I do know where to go and where not to without giving a lot of information, but giving enough to the reader so they can be satisfied in that sense.
Are there any characters in your book that one might recognize?
Yes, definitely. If you're a Freemason and you read my first book, I actually had a reader that read my book, and he told me, I know who this is, I know who that is, etc. So yeah, the answer is yes, in the first one especially. And the second one, not that much, but there are a couple. And then, yeah. And definitely there are the main characters are based on real people, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
The main protagonists of these stories.
Well, look, we're out of time. It's gone so quick.
Oh, my God.
Thank you,
Jerry.
And Christopher, by the way, he would like the English version of that.
Awesome. Thank you, Christopher. And Marilu also, hi. Thank you. Anna is listening. Marilu is her cousin, so that's awesome. Anna Cristina and Marilu is listening. So, Christopher, you're going to have a copy dedicated. Thank you for your interest. I just want to say that the books in Spanish are available in Hombre La Mancha, Río Smith.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hombre La Mancha, Río Smith, El Lector, Panamá Viejo, Portobello and Cultural, and Little Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
And in Amazon, they are both in English and Spanish, both versions, print and Kindle as well. And you can follow me in my account, Amilcar Goti Escritor. So, yeah, and you can contact me directly. I'm happy to talk to you because, you know, it's very nice to get your feedback, really.
Absolutely. Amilcar, thank you so very much. Been very interesting, and I shall look forward to a good read.
Yes.
That's it, and that has brought us, yes, I'm about a sort of minute overrun, but no problem. Cool. A big thanks once again to my guest, Amilcar Goti, here with us in the studio this morning. By the way, we still have a Spanish copy, and if you were to give away, if you want to read that, drop me a WhatsApp on 677-18822, 677-18822. We'll leave it open for a while, and just let us know, and we'll get Amilcar to sign it for you, to dedicate it to you. Big thanks also, as always, to our intrepid outdoor reporter, Ingrid, for her everyday story of country folk, to Yasmin, my producer here in the Breakfast Show studio, my appointments person, social media, you name it, she does it. And big thanks to my co-producer, Neil Danby, over there in the UK, looking after Mum. He gets a lot of our background information. Boys and girls, the group of Grad, will keep us up and running. He'll be turning us off in a couple of seconds. And also to you, our listeners, advertisers, and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show. Remember, I'll be back with you same time tomorrow. That is 7 o'clock, and I want you to be careful. Whatever it is you're doing between now and then, do it carefully. I want to be talking to you tomorrow, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-da. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Kiros, co-producer Neil Danby.